their safe journey home. But you pray for us this morning. We're going to start the service with I've Been Through Enough. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful, He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. Cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Now listen. He's all you need. He's all you need. Jesus is all you need. 'cause I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. Amen. Probably not a more timely song than that this morning. And I pray that you'll just pray for us today. The Lord will be with us. What a beautiful day it's been this morning already. Amen. This is the day the Lord's made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it's so good to see you here this morning. Again, Pastor and them will be traveling back home today. And Amanda and them are with, I'm telling you that I'm sure that they'll have some stories to tell when they get back. Just trust me on that one, okay? But the Lord's kept them safe thus far, and pray the Lord give them traveling mercies back home this afternoon. I'm sure that we have a lot of prayer requests this morning, but I know you always share those on Wednesday. And as far as I know, Pastor will be back with us on Wednesday, and I'm sure there'll be many prayer requests to go over. But let me just say this morning that I, as well as you, I'm sure, have had folks that have gone through some difficult times this week. Some have had some exposure to the virus. We've heard about a lot of stories about that. Some have even tested positive. And I'm just thankful that none of those are in our immediate families, or we probably wouldn't be here this morning. But some have gone through some very difficult times this week, and we just want to lift them up in prayer. I want to share just a special prayer request with you this morning. I had a wedding that I was going to try my best to get to. I told them, I said, look, I'm going to be speaking at my church this morning, but I'll be there as soon as service is over. Just be ready, and I'll walk up, and we'll do the ceremony, and we'll move right along. I was going to try my best to get there somewhere around 1 o'clock. But I got a text just a few moments ago, and one of their parents, either the bride or the groom, I think it's the groom's parents, were in an automobile accident this morning, traveling and trying to get here for their ceremony today. So he said, Pastor, I'm going to have to ask you, if you will, just kind of put us on hold maybe later on this afternoon. It just kind of depends on the outcome. They were taking them both, I believe, to the hospital. So please remember them in prayer, and I know they would appreciate it. And so that's a pretty difficult time for them to be going through this morning on this day of their celebration of their ceremony. But just pray the Lord just keep them safe, and pray that everything's okay there. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Again, a lot of things to pray for, and we just need to lift one another up in prayer. And I'm thankful this morning He's kept us safe thus far. Amen. And He's kept us healthy, and we're able to be in the house of the Lord today. Father, we love You and praise You and thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day that You've given us. Lord, what a beautiful sunrise this morning. And again, it's been a beautiful day already. This is a day that You have made. Lord, we will rejoice. And we will be glad in it. Lord, I pray that You'd be with many that are going through difficult times. Lord, some physically. Lord, some financially. Some emotionally, even spiritually, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that You would be with each one in a very special way. Lord, I thank You for these that are able to be here with us this morning. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that You would just continue to be with them and keep them safe and healthy. Lord, many are with us by way of the Facebook Live, and Lord, I pray that You would be with them. And Lord, I thank You for them and their faithfulness to lift us up in prayer. And Lord, we've got many messages this morning. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for, again, for just for the opportunity to be able to be here today, and Lord, to be able to share Your word in a few moments. And Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, give us that we need today. Lord, thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, thank You for salvation today. Lord, I pray that You just be with those, Lord, that may not know You today, whether it be on Facebook or whether it be here in the service this morning. If there's someone under the sound of our voice that's never accepted You as Savior, Lord, this could be the day of salvation for them. Lord, we pray that You touch their heart. Lord, draw them to You. Lord, again, I just pray that You would be with us. Lord, I thank You for our pastor. Lord, I thank You for the direction, Lord, that You've given him. For our deacons, Lord, I know that there are difficult decisions that have been made over the past weeks. And, Lord, maybe even some difficult decision in the days to come. Lord, we don't know everything that's going on around us, but, Lord, I'm glad to know that You're in charge and in control. Lord, pray that You just continue to be with us. Again, give us a great day today in Your house. Save someone today would be our prayer. Draw us closer to You.
Lord, closer to one another. Lord, help us to remember just to lift each other up in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to pray and call on your name this morning. Give us a great day, and we'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, turn with me to page number 120. Let's everyone stand, everyone sing together about the victory we have in Jesus. Page 120, everyone stand and sing this morning. All right, let's sing. Put a big smile on your face as we sing together now. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the... On the last now. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We have a special song for you this morning that I know will be a blessing. It's always a blessing to hear Brother Randy, and he's going to come around and he's going to share that song with us this morning about the clay.
Empty and broken, I came back to Him, a vessel unworthy and so scarred by sin. But He did not despair, He started over. He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions this clay, a vessel. molded in His likeness. You see, He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and fall and my vessel breaks, He just picks up those old pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions this clay, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's
Amen. In the book of Isaiah, don't turn there. I just want to read a verse of scripture that goes right along with that. I was thinking about it this morning when the Lord was speaking to us a little bit about the music today. In the book of Isaiah 64 and 8, it says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art potter, and we all are the work of Thine hand." Brother, thank you for that song this morning. Blesses our heart, and we're so thankful for it this morning. If you are given to turning in your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Numbers. Love to hear the rustling of the pages. Now most of us just turn to it on our phone. We can find it quicker there, I guess. But whatever avenue, turn with me to the book of Numbers. We're going to try our best to share a message with you this morning that I hope will be a blessing. I believe it's what the Lord would have for us today. I'm very thankful for the opportunity. Pastor touched with me, debased with me a couple weeks ago and said, "Would you be willing to bring the message?" We're going to be out of town on vacation on this morning, and I was glad to be able to do that. Very thankful for the opportunity. And I want to bring a message to you this morning with this thought in mind: bad, better, or best. Bad, better, or best. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter number 21, and we're going to read verses 2 through 9. I want you to think on those things this morning: bad, better, or best. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses number 2, it says, "And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." You're given an underlining in your Bible. I underlined that little phrase, "discouraged because of the way." Verse 5 says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Notice that phrase that says, and the people spake against God. Just remember this, that's bad. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Things are getting better when you realize that you have sinned. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. That might be the best part. Verse number 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, how encouraging it is. Lord, we think about the many verses that we have read down through the years. Lord, the many opportunities that we've had to be able to go to your word for encouragement. Lord, I pray that you touch us this morning. Speak through us, Lord, that we need to hear. And we'll be careful to praise you and thank you for all that is accomplished today. Lord, to be someone that's never accepted you as Savior, Lord, that our prayer would be that you touch them, draw them this morning to repentance, that they'd be born into the family of God. Lord, we know that you're coming. Lord, and we realize that you're coming soon. Lord, as we search the scriptures and we read and we, Lord, realize that your coming is at hand. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live that way. Lord, that we might stay close to you. Lord, that we might stay in your word. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished today. In Jesus' name, amen. The people of God were traveling in a wilderness experience. But not only were they traveling through a wilderness, but we too in the day that we live today would have to admit that we are traveling through a wilderness. But we must take notice that in a wilderness, there's no highway signs, no street signs, nothing telling us which way to go, to turn left nor to turn right. When we're in a wilderness, we have to realize that there's a lot of uncertainty. We all will find ourselves in a wilderness experience at one time or another. And I believe that you would agree with me this morning that we're truly traveling in a wilderness time. We can be outwardly directed today. We can get signs. We can get direction. We get a lot of direction from the media, if you will. We get a lot of direction from our local government, if you will. But when we are in a wilderness experience, outwardly we might get direction, but inwardly we'll find ourselves in a very confused state. Have you sat and wondered over the past days, you know, what's going to happen next? What are we going through? What in the world's going on in this world that we live? I would encourage you don't spend a lot of time with the media. It will be discouraging to you. We need to spend more time in His Word. Somebody say amen right there. When we are in a wilderness, it causes something to come upon us, and we will become very bewildered, restless, tired. When we are bewildered on the outside, we can do a lot of things, but on the inside, it just seems to be eating us alive. We can hide it by putting on, ladies might have their eyeshadow on this morning, and that looks very pretty, and we appreciate that. We might even go so far as to put on some lipstick and paint on a smile. But on the inside, we are bewildered. And when we are bewildered, it's hard to be nice. Have you noticed that? We're going through a hard time. It's hard to be nice to people. It's hard to be calm. It's hard to be kind. It's hard to be happy. When we're going through a wilderness time, and when we're bewildered, it's hard to go home from a hard day's work and cook a big dinner. But you better cook at home. I just encourage you there, amen. But it's hard to live in a bewildered time. Bewilderness causes our blood pressure to go up. Has your blood pressure gone up lately with everything that's going on? When we're bewildered, it will affect our rest and it affects our sleep when we're in a wilderness time because we're bewildered. We go through times and we think about being in a wilderness. God's people here were in a wilderness and they were under attack. I guess I don't have to tell you today that we too are under attack. We're living in a wilderness time, a place of uncertainty. Look at the political climate, if you will, and you'll realize that we're going through a very stressful time. Maybe the economy is spiraling out of control. The spiritual climate seems to be somewhat lukewarm, I'm afraid. But may I remind you this morning that, and I tell people this everywhere now, that they'll come to me and say, let me ask you a question. You know, have you had someone to come to you and say, you're a Christian, let me ask you this. You're a Christian, you tell me this. And I always tell them, look, I don't have all the answers, but I'll try my best to lead you to the book. I'll try my best to pray with you and pray for you. I had someone just Friday, I never really had spoken to this young lady at all, but she came to me at the courthouse at work, and she said, I want to talk. I heard you were a preacher. I got some things I want to ask you. And I thought, well, let me just give you, first of all, let me say I don't have all the answers for you, but I know someone that does, and I know someone that can help you. And she said, well, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. I said, then we'll talk. I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you. But we don't have all the answers, do we? We don't know exactly everything that's going on around us, but I'm here to tell you this morning, got some good news for you. God is still in charge, and He is still in control. I'm glad to know that He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Say amen right there. Normally, if you're going through a storm or a wilderness type of experience, you can lean on your family. You can go to them, and we still do. But it's tough when all of your family's going through a hard time. It's hard when everybody in the world is going through difficulties, but we can still lean on and pray for one another. Have you ever noticed, and do you notice now that a lot of things are changing? You remember when the COVID or the coronavirus first came out, and everybody was being a little nicer to everybody, and we were praying for one another, and people were going, you know, trying to get to the house of prayer and spending time in the Word and spending time just encouraging and trying to talk to one another about everything that was going on. What was trying to divide us was now all of a sudden drawing us a little closer and uniting us. When you're in a wilderness, you can't afford to be petty and you can't afford to be ugly about things. And we need to just to draw nigh unto the Lord and be close to one another. You can't afford to be petty and you can't afford to be prejudiced. There's a lot to be said about that, I guess, this morning. All of a sudden, the unimportant people of your life seem to be a little more close to you and a little special. Do you remember when you would go to the grocery store and you would never pay attention to that little guy that was out there pushing the buggies up through the parking lot? I mean, just sweating, pushing the buggies up there. Now, all of a sudden, that little guy, not only is he bringing the buggies in, but he's wiping them all down. You notice that? You go into a store and they're squirting them down with something to sanitize the buggies. And we now all of a sudden we are so thanking Him for everything that He does. And we're saying thank you for you for everything that you do. Now the stock clerks that were not ever paid very much attention to, now they're in there. And you remember when the stores, when we first went to the store when COVID first started and you walked into the store, because we realized something's up. You know something's bad when you got to go get toilet paper, amen? You know something's bad when you can't find any, amen, right there. But we were not thinking too much about the store clerks until all of a sudden everything started going crazy. And now we're very thankful for them that are restocking the shelves, and what we once took for granted, we're very thankful for. And when you can't find the things that you need and you can't seem to put a little bit of normalcy on everything. We've got the new normal now, I guess, is where we are. But what will ever really be normal again, I'm not really sure. But bad can't stop you from getting better. I said this morning that I wanted to share with you bad, better, or best. Bad can't stop you from getting better. When we begin to realize that we are better together than we are apart, then we'll be a lot better off. Amen? We're better together than when we are apart. We remember those that were on the front lines, the nurses, the doctors, EMS, first responders, and we're so thankful for them, those that are face-to-face with it every day. And many are working in that kind of situation here at Calvary, and we're very thankful, and I appreciate the prayers. And working and facing people every day in law enforcement, it's not quite the same as it was several months ago. But those kind of people we are very thankful for. They're faced with it every day, and some went for weeks with no contact with their families. I had a lady to tell me just this week, she said, "I think because I don't want to take anything home to my mother, that I'm going to just find me a motel room somewhere and stay for a few weeks until things blow over, until things clear up." And, they say stay away 10 days, 14 days, whatever, if you've been exposed. Let me encourage you. Here's your little commercial. I looked out a few minutes ago and I said, everybody smile this morning saying victory in Jesus. And some of them that are wearing masks this morning, you look over and the only thing way you can see them smile is their eyebrows lifted up. But I'm thankful for a smile, amen. But I want to just throw a little commercial out there to you. Let me encourage you, even though you might say, "I'm not going to the Walmart no more because y'all have to wear a mask." I wouldn't go to Walmart anyway, but I'm just saying, all right, you can't go to Kroger, you can't go to Publix, you can't go to the dollar store, you can't go here, go there without wearing a mask. So people say, you know, I'm telling you, I encourage you, just go ahead and wear the mask. It's not going to kill us. Hey, if it will keep me safe or you safe, I'll put my stubborn ways aside and just wear the mask. It's not going to kill us. I would encourage you not to wear the same one all the time without washing it. And I would encourage you not to eat onions when you wear a mask, because you're going to have to breathe that stuff. Amen? But it's not going to kill us. Just wear the mask. It'll be all right. Wash your hands. I would encourage you to wash your hands anyway. But now, you really need to wash your hands. It's not going to kill us. We just need to do what we can to try and keep everybody safe and healthy. Amen? I would just encourage you to do that this morning. There were people that, like I said, that said, you know what, I don't really want to take a chance on taking anything home to my family, so I'll just go get a motel room, stay there for a few days, make sure that everything's okay. Again, I don't know about you, but I haven't come in direct contact with someone that tested positive this week, or I probably wouldn't be here because I don't want to bring it to you. But some folks have, and again, their families are affected, and everybody's quarantined. But we just need, again, we need to pray for one another. It will forge relationships when you are in a wilderness experience. It might even bring us to our knees when we're going through a wilderness. Could it be possible this morning that God's trying to do something to draw us to a place of unity? Boy, we need to be united, don't we? Everything has changed. I was trying to watch the Braves game. It's hard to watch a game when there's no fans out there. But I heard, and this might not be true, but I heard that for $100, they'll take your picture, put it on a poster, and put it out there in a seat. Amen? They'll do everything they can to try and make some money somewhere. But it is good to have baseball back. Amen? Go Braves. I don't know if we'll always be the Braves, but hey, tomahawk chop while you can. That's all I know to say. But I'm glad to be able to watch a little baseball. But everything is different. Everything has changed around us. But maybe God's trying to do something to draw us to a place of unity. Something that we need to also realize, nothing else has been able to do it before. Have you noticed that? Man, we were just kicking along. Everything was going our way. I don't know about you, but I want us to notice this morning, I'm going to try my best to bring you three quick thoughts. Number one is that there's a conquest. The conquest doesn't choose to come when we want it to. What is conquest? That's something conquered, especially in a time of war. But it's not the time of our choosing. I surely wouldn't have chosen any of this. None of us would have. And we sure wouldn't have chosen for it to happen when it did. Here it comes. Not ready or not, here it comes. Just when you think everything's going fine, here comes a storm. You ever notice that? That couple this morning that's getting ready for the wedding, all of a sudden they're in the middle of a little bit of a storm. Here comes the enemy. The children of Israel are in the wilderness and have come upon this time when here comes the Canaanites. I wouldn't try to tell you this morning that I understand all that's going on with COVID-19 or anything else. The virus, the storm, didn't come at a time when we were informed, or it didn't come at a time when we were made to be prepared. It just came upon us. We woke up one morning, and all of a sudden, everything has changed. And we weren't ready for it, but here it is. But the Bible said that while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, that they had a battle to fight. They had an enemy, and that was there was the Canaanites. But you and I also have a battle to fight. But we are not each other's enemy. No matter the color of skin, no matter what someone else might, you know, we might have the rich and we might have the poor, but we're not each other's enemy. We've got an enemy out there, but it's Satan. It's the devil, and he's the one that is fighting the warfare. Through the coronavirus, people have been fighting for their very lives. And so there's a very vulnerable moment. The backpacks and the children of Israel had their backpacks packed and nowhere to lay their heads, and here comes the Canaanites. Not one time did we get time to finish what we were doing. Graduations were right around the corner, you remember, trying to get our kids all ready for graduation. People trying to have weddings, people trying to have surgeries. People were in the hospitals and nobody could come and visit them. Well, we have come a little ways, haven't we? At least maybe we might be able to visit our loved one if they're going through a surgery or a difficult time. Little ones were being born and grandparents couldn't be there. Now, that's a bad time. And we will realize that we were going through the conquest. But God, boy, I love that phrase, but God. He, you know, the song says he was first on the scene. Before it happened, he knew our needs. You have to realize this morning that before any of this happened, that God knew what was happening. Nothing took him by surprise. Nothing has taken him by surprise through it all. I don't know how many times we've said this, but have you ever caught yourself saying this, and this phrase, I don't know how people go through times like this without the Lord. How many times have you said that? I'm talking about, I'm going to tell you again this morning, I don't know how people go through times like this without the Lord. We need Him, amen? Through everything that we're going through, surely we need to realize that we need Him. But hey, God doesn't wait either. I'm glad and I'm thankful for that. He didn't wait till everything was over and then come in and try and fix it all, did He? He was right with us. I'm glad that God's on time. Somebody say amen right there. He's always on time. He doesn't wait till everything is straightened out or everything is fixed. He shows up right in the midst of the storm. You recall when the disciples were on the boat and Peter had stepped out on the water, and the Lord was with him right in the middle of the storm. Amen? But in the midst of it all, in the middle of the storm, He is the eye of the storm. I'm thankful for that. Now look at where we find the children of Israel. Egypt is behind them, and they can't go back. The promised land is way before them, and they can't get there. But here they are in the middle of the wilderness. I'm so thankful for everyone who has done so much in the middle of our wilderness and everything is going on. We have the CDC and we've got local government. We have doctors and we have nurses, first responders. But I want to tell you this morning that the Bible says, actually I'm going to read you a couple of verses this morning from the book of Psalms, chapter number 121. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Notice verse number 2 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. I'm glad to know that our help this morning comes from the Lord, and He's with us through what we're going through. The second thing I want you to notice this morning, not only is the conquest, but also I want you to notice, number two, the conflict. I know you have faith this morning. We've got that Sunday morning faith, that's for sure. We're all here, and we're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Somebody say, you still with me? Amen? Still awake with me out there? Just hang on. We won't be very much longer. But there is a faith that we must have that's got to be stronger, Charlie, than just a Sunday. I love picking on you. I'm glad to know you're here this morning. It's got to be stronger than a Sunday morning faith. Amen? We need a faith that will get us through everything, a faith that will get us through the week. Anybody can have faith on Sunday morning. But hey, you wait until we get back home and we're going through difficult times this week. Then where's your faith? Let me ask you something this morning. You remember back when all of this first started and all of a sudden we can't come to church and we got the message, we got the calling post that said we're not going to be having church at church this morning, so please catch us on Facebook Live. And how long did we go there? We were there for weeks. But I want to say this. I'll try my best not to get too far off the camera. Am I good? All right. I'm telling you, it's hard for me to stay behind this thing, man. I'd love to be right down there and there with y'all. But let me just say this. I want to thank our pastor and our deacons for keeping the pulse of what's going on. Amen? And for keeping us safe through those times. It's a hard thing to say we're not going to come to church. It's very difficult decisions that have to be made that would try to keep us safe and try and keep us healthy. But I want to thank my pastor, and I'm sure you do as well. He's probably listening in this morning. I hope that he is. I want to tell you, Pastor, that we thank you, and we appreciate the decisions that you've made. There will be other difficult decisions in the days to come. We thought we were going into stage two, and we were going to come back, and the next thing we was going to have choir, and we was going to have Sunday school. And then all of a sudden, we had to make a choice, had to make another difficult decision. But I'm thankful that he's keeping us in mind, and he's praying, and he's searching, and he's listening. And, you know, some other churches have decided, hey, we're not going to be able to have live service anymore because of things that are going through their church. And we just want to continue to lift them in prayer. But I just wanted to throw that out there, and I'm very thankful this morning. But, you know, when we first said, you know, you just wait till we get back in church. Boy, I just can't wait for us to get back in church. Anybody catch that Facebook commercial out there of the Pentecostal church? Did everybody see that? Man, they was getting ready to get back into church, and they were dancing down the aisles. And but I wondered, what's it going to be like when we were able to get back in church? We said, boy, we can't wait to be able to come back to church and hear some music. We tried our best to start slipping in a little early and trying to share a few songs. And let me just say, I am so thankful for Brother David and his faithfulness. He was here when none of us could be here and playing. And thank you, Brother Randy, for all that you've done and others that have tried to keep us Facebook Live and keep us some music out there. And I'm very thankful for that. And then we said, boy, we can't wait to get back into church so that we can worship. Amen. We can't wait to get back into church where there'll be some singing. We can't wait to be able to get back into the church to where we'll have some preaching. Amen? Amen. Don't make me get T.D. Burgess's signs. Amen? But, hey, we need some folks that are willing to come back and worship. And we're thankful for that. I wondered, I'll be honest with you, it entered my mind, I wonder what we might be like when we get back. Would we be running the pews too? Would we be dancing down the aisles too? Would we be so excited too? Would we be at least lifting our hands? And I wonder if that's really our attitude of praise and worship. But hey, we need someone who will be with us in the fire. And I'm glad to know that the Lord's with us through those times. We need to have faith in the fire. Faith in the bad times. Faith when there are tears running down our faces. Now, you would think that if you prayed for God to be with you, to deliver you, help you to fight off the Canaanites, and you got the victory that He has just brought you to and through in the storm, that you would be praising Him, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just think that they would might have had an attitude of praise? But I want you to kind of notice back with me. We won't read through all the verses again. But in verse number 3 it says, "And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, delivered them out of their storms. And it says that He utterly destroyed them and their cities." And you would think that it might be a time of praise. Verse number 4. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." They didn't even get a verse down through it. They had just been delivered, and all of a sudden, they're discouraged. Well, it just sounds like us, don't it? Lord does something for us, and boy, we're praising Him one day, and the next day, oh, no, I can't believe this is happening. We're discouraged again. Verse number 5, notice with me. "And the people spake against God and against Moses." Remember, I said I was going to give you 3 things. That right there would be bad. How about the bad, the better, and the best? That would be a bad time. They spake against God and against Moses. There's not one, "Thank you, Lord." There's not one, "Bless His name." There's not one, "Thank you, Jesus." There's not one, "Praise His name," anywhere mentioned in those verses. God has brought them and given them a victory. It's not a verse later that they're discouraged. No one worshiped Him. They didn't sing one chorus of, "If it had not been for the Lord on my side, choir, where would I be?" But in sin, they murmured and complained. They didn't recognize one verse later. You know, if God had not helped us, if He had not brought us through that, the Canaanites would have killed us. But the Bible says that they murmured and complained. I'm afraid sometimes we do the same thing. But if God had not been with us, think about what we've been through over the past months. And some folks, I'm telling you, are still without jobs. Some folks are without jobs because of choice, but that's a whole different matter. Some folks are still without work. Some folks have lost their homes. Some folks have gone through some very difficult times. Some folks, listen to me, have lost their loved ones. We have folks that, I mean, how many people have died to the coronavirus? Whether that was what they died from or not, again, that's a whole different story for a different day. But some folks have died from this coronavirus, from COVID-19. Some folks have lost their lives. Some folks have lost their loved ones. But had it not been for the Lord being with us, we wouldn't have our jobs. Maybe we wouldn't have our homes. Maybe someone might have lost their vehicle, their car. But we're still. They forgot how to pray. They forgot how to be happy. They forgot how to be thankful. And I'm afraid that sometimes we fall into that same group. We forget how to be happy. We forget how to be thankful. We forget how to praise. We live in a country that today has forgotten how to be happy. I'm telling you, everything has taken a turn. When you can't even stand for the Pledge of Allegiance of the flag of the United States of America, are you kidding me? Everything seems to have taken a turn. I know I'm a little old-fashioned, but I come from a time when you would come in contact with somebody and you'd nod and say, "How you doing?" Not anymore. People don't care how you're doing. And you might not want to hear how they're doing either, I'm just saying. I remember a time when you would ride down the road and with your both hands on the wheel, young folks, both hands on the wheel, but you'd say, when someone passed you on the road, "I know I'm weird, I know I'm old-fashioned," but you come in contact with somebody and you'd say, "How are you? Blessed day we're having." I asked Trail this morning, I said, "How are you doing this morning, Trail?" What'd you say? "Bless more than I deserve." That is a true statement right there. Amen. That's what he always says every time I ask him how he's doing. We have forgotten how to be nice. We have forgotten human kindness. We've forgotten human decency. We're too busy with our trying to make sure we got enough bling on. We're too busy to make sure we got enough of everything that we want, everything that's important to us, trying to tell everybody who we are, that we've forgotten how to be nice. We've forgotten how to be kind and loving to a brother or sister. In the Lord's work, we need to be kind one to another. Despite the differences, let me tell you something this morning. Despite the differences of color or what others might think, what others might have or may not have, he said that we are to love one another. Amen? We just need to love one another. I'm telling you, love will change things. I can prove that to you because if you look at Calvary, love changed it all. Amen? We need to learn again how to be happy. Look at verse number 6. It says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." That's bad times. But things get better in verse number 7. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we realize that we've spoken against thee and the Lord.'" Things begin to get better. The Bible says that they spake against God and they spake against Moses. They murmured against them, against that is above and that is beneath. It's one thing for you to speak against me. It's one thing for you to speak against your parents. And again, that's a story all to itself. We might not be going through all this if we just let the parents be the parents. Amen. If the parents had risen up and said, "Hey, you know what? You're my child, and you ain't going to do it that way." Amen. I remember going to the woodshed. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, if we will let the parents be the parents and let the government step aside from that, if we'll put the Lord back in the places where we took him out from, that makes me want to shout right there and run. Amen. And just let him be in charge and in control. If we would look unto the Lord, the author, the finisher of our faith, we might not be going through all this. But it's altogether another thing to speak against God, especially right after he's blessed you. God blesses us and he gives us that we stand in need of, and before you know it, we're discouraged, we're murmuring, we're complaining again. But when God gets tired and God's had enough, we notice that here in the verse that he sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Sooner or later, God's going to get tired and he's had enough. Amen. And when God's had enough, it's all together a different story. We're always teaching things. You ever notice that in the church, in the world? We're always teaching how to be a millionaire. Boy, that'd be something if we were millionaires, wouldn't it? We're teaching about how to receive a blessing. We'll give three ways to live a happy and successful life. But we don't teach much about when God gets tired. We don't teach much about there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun anymore. Amen? We need to tell people that Jesus is coming soon. If you don't realize the Lord's coming soon, you might just really need to wake up. Because the Lord is at hand, and he's soon to come and get his bride, and I'm looking forward to that. Maybe excuses. We give excuses. We ignore him. We put him on the shelf or in the trunk. We put him behind us when we think we can handle everything all by ourselves. We need to think that we've gotten everything going on in our way and we just tend to put the Lord aside. But then our life has a flat tire and all of a sudden things change. We speak against God. We shake our fist in the face of God, as it were. And God gets tired. I don't know what all is going on, to be honest with you, with the coronavirus, with COVID-19, call it what you want. But know this. Not one thing has ever taken him by surprise. And this hasn't taken him by surprise either. He is still in charge and in control. But sometimes when God gets tired, he has a way of sending something to get our attention. We went from COVID-19 when everybody was all joined in and we were praying for one another and everything was going fine, and it seemed like things were just about to die down a little bit. and something happened. A 46-year-old black American male was killed in Minneapolis, Minnesota on May the 25th by the name of George Floyd. That would forever change the world. Hello? You realize that? That incident, as terrible as it was, changed the world. May forever change history before it's over with. Riots in the streets. We went from being 6 feet apart. Don't get close to me. Stay 6 foot away. You know, carry a 6 foot ruler, stick with you. Make sure nobody gets close to you. Stay away. Put on your mask. Stay away from me. Social distancing. To riots in the streets where people were side by side, as close as they could get, as many as they could gather together. We had riots in the streets of Atlanta where we had to bring in the National Guard. Police officers who were just weeks before were heroes are now slain in the streets themselves, spat upon, defunded, and we go on and on. But again, I tell you that Jesus died for us all. I saw probably one of the greatest illustrations this morning with everything that's going on, with all that we hear, and it was Jesus hanging on the cross on Golgotha's hill, and at the bottom the phrase said, "I died because all lives matter." In a time when children, 8-year-old children, are shot in a vehicle because they were in a place that they shouldn't have been, trying to make a U-turn to turn around and get out of Atlanta. An 8-year-old little girl lost her life. The third thing I want you to notice this morning, and we're almost done, is that there are also not only conquest, but there are also conflicts. But I want you to tell you this morning that they're also conquerors. That's my third point this morning. We've been made more than conquerors. There's a song that said that. Overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious by the blood of Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that we need each other. I said a few moments ago that we are better together than when we are apart. We are not each other's enemy. No matter the color of skin, no matter whether you're rich or you're poor, no matter where you came from or where you're going, we're not each other's enemy. There's an enemy out there. But we need to join together, and we need to band together again as America, as the church. Friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that we are not each other's enemy, but it is Satan that is our enemy. It will forge us together when you and I might be in the wilderness. We are being petty when we should be powerful. We have been bad in verse number 5. We're a little better in verse number 7. But we have the best in verse number 8, where it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, that he lived." Dave, if you'll come around this morning, we're going to share a song here in just a few moments. But I want you to hear me for just 1 second. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? And his name is Jesus. And I want you to realize this morning that I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me, as the song said a few moments ago. How about you? I just want to ask you this morning, is if you're going through a difficult time, if you're discouraged, if you need the Lord, I want to ask you this morning, would you be willing just to come to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith? He is here this morning and will give us what we need. They said if you'll just raise up that pole with the serpent of brass, that you'll live. I want to tell you this morning that over 2,000 years ago on a place called Calvary, there was an old tree that was lifted up with our Savior that hung there for our sins. I want you to see him this morning high and lifted up. And if you will look unto Him, you too can live. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior this morning, if you'll stand with me, we're going to just have a verse of a song this morning. If you'll stand with me this morning and just be obedient to the Lord. Has the Lord spoken to you about something? Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you may be even depressed and going through some very difficult times. I want to ask you this morning, would you just come, kneel before the Lord and ask the Lord this morning to give you that you stand in need of. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus this morning and see Him high and lifted up.